All right, let's do it. Let's do it. Jacob, what do you got? What do you got?
McFarlane.
Oh, see the little gusto behind that. Pat from Play Tessie, what do you got?
McFarlane.
Gordo's mic isn't working yet, but they're screaming anyway. All right, there you go. All right, and I am going to yell McFarlane as well. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for the next couple hours. The Baseball Isn't Boring Show, we're live from Fenway Park, Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. Actually, we're up in the broadcast booth, and we're watching Alex Bregman field ground balls. Everything is okay. Everything okay. Masa Yoshida is running. Bregman fielding ground balls. It's just magical around here. I don't know, Pat. Has anything happened since we last did this show? Has anything happened? And, of course, in case people aren't keeping track, in case people aren't tallying when we were doing this show, the Baseball Isn't Boring on the radio show, we haven't done a show. Last time we did it, Rafael Devers was on the team. Last time we did it, the Red Sox had just beaten the Yankees. Last time we did it, vibes were high. Now, 2 weeks later, we are doing the show. Has anything happened?
No, I think vibes are astronomically high. Raffy's on a hot streak right now. They've won six in a row. No, the sky is falling.
Sky is falling. All right, sky is falling. So there is so much to pick through here. There is so much to get to. And, I'm so happy to be doing the show. I wanted to do it so badly last week, but unfortunately I was at Dodger Stadium. I was running around there, talking to people, getting interviews for Baseball Isn't Boring. By the way, at BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring. Biggest month in our history this month at Baseball Isn't Boring. And, of course, the Play Tessie guys are here. You're going to hear Gordo and Pat throughout the show. But it is – I wanted to do the show so badly last week because that whole week was just chaos. It was just – I mean, the Devers thing – I don't know if we've seen anything like that in a long, long time, where it was just chaos from the get-go, from the moment we found out he was traded on Father's Day. Then, you know, we go to Seattle, and we find out, we get the vibe there from all the players in the clubhouse. We get the Devers fallout. We get the press conferences. Then all of it. All of it. We get the stories. We get the AI interviews. We get all of it. And now it hasn't gone away. And I always said this, I kept saying this, the millions and millions and millions of interviews humble brag, but whatever. I've been saying this, people ask this, is this going to go away? And it's an easy answer. They can make it go away. They can push the Rafael Devers conversation in the rear view. If you asked me on the Monday after that deal was done, how long this would linger, I'm like, well, are they going to win? Because if they were winning right now, which I don't know if you know this, Pat, they are not winning. They have lost six in a row. They are three games under 500. If they were winning, then we would not have to relitigate this Rafael Devers trade. But that's what we're continuing to do. And on top of it all, what makes it even spicier, what makes it even easier to talk about, is the one thing that you had with Rafael Devers – you simply don't have, and this isn't hyperbole. This is a fact that offensively they are the worst team in baseball since Rafael Devers was traded. Would they have been the best team in baseball if he wasn't traded? No. No. But you cannot ignore that you're hitting Abraham Toro in the two spot. Your DH spot has been pretty much a hole. You have not. All the guys that you were counting on to take steps forward have taken steps back. Almost all of them. If you go back to the last 10 games, you go look at the OPS of this team, it is crazy bad. Crazy. The batting average, everybody, but I think Willy Abreu maybe, is 170 or under. I mean, it is that is only going to amp up the conversation. So I want everyone to call 617-779-7937 because I have not got a chance to talk to you, the people, on the Baseball Isn't Boring show. I haven't got a chance to sit alongside my comrades here on the Play Tessie podcast. I have not got a chance to do this, and maybe it's the perfect time to do it because we always say, hey, vent, that's what you can do on the show. We've done plenty of shows where they've lost on a Friday night, and we've done the show on a Saturday, but there is so much more to this. And then we can spin it forward about exactly what you'd go, where do you go from here? I talked to Craig Breslow down the field yesterday. We posted a story on WEI.com about how you view June trades because, guys, fellas, guess what today is?
It's the anniversary of Steve Pierce.
The anniversary of Steve Pierce. And guess what yesterday was?
Ooh, that you got me.
The anniversary of Carlos Santana trade. 2 years ago, Seattle Mariners, two games under 500. They trade for Carlos Santana, 39-12. Boom. Right? And so we can talk about that. And Breslow, in a nutshell, what he was saying is that it's very difficult to make June trades because you don't know exactly what you need, and teams don't know exactly what they need. And when it flips to July 1st, all of a sudden people start calling. Well, those are a couple examples where you can make trades. And I would also say this, to factor this in, and Pat, I want you to weigh in on this. One of the things we can talk about, it's difficult to make trades in June. It's difficult to say, hey, we need this, and then all of a sudden you get a Masayoshi Yoshida back, you get a Bregman back, you get Roman Anthony tears it up. Well, I understand that. But there is a time element because of the Devers thing. And also, one factor that you get with these sort of trades is the mindset of the team. And I'll use last night as a perfect example of this, where you had that team, and Jaren Duran comes out after the game and admits they're pressing. All right, the combination of not having enough talent, the combination of pressing, of feeling that every little thing is going to not get you to where you want to go, that is not a good thing. So when anybody asked Craig Breslow, this is what kind of drives me nuts, when they say, what do you need? And they start with pitching, and then they go to base running, and then they go to fielding. Well, I will say this. Yeah, you're right. But I think that a big reason why you aren't able to produce and perform in those other elements of the game is because you're pressing because you aren't going to score runs. Pat, your thoughts?
No, I agree. I mean, it's the lineup, the way it's shaped right now, there's no guy in the lineup where you're like, just get it back to him. Get it back to
none.
Him. Get it back to
none.
Him. No one is hitting.
None.
Never mind. You miss your best bat, Raffy. No one is hitting. There's no turn in the lineup where you think, okay, something good's going to happen here. Everyone is slumping. Everyone is ice cold. The pitching's been meh. The defense has been meh. The offense has been flat out bad. It has been abysmal over the past week. And there's no signs of improvement. And like you said, like, you're banking on guys to take this big step forward. Myers looked pretty good, and then you've had Roman.
You should not have to, like, have those guys.
That's what I'm saying.
And, you know, and what drove me, not to interrupt you, but to interrupt you, Pat, is that, you know, the guy that they're identifying as that guy is Roman Anthony.
Yeah.
And one of the things it's driving me nuts, and for all those people out there who are slaves to Baseball Savant and analytics and whatever, cover your ears. I don't want to hear how hard hit. How many balls are hit anymore? Gordo's sitting there. He's cringing. Wait till he gets it. He's like, this is like torture for Gordo not having a mic right now. But so let's see. Gordo, can you talk? Go ahead. Try to talk.
I'm talking. Can you hear me?
All right, we got it?
Yes.
Jacob? All right, Jacob.
Oh,
all right,
there you
go.
Alive.
Oh, listen,
back.
He's like, he's going to be shot out of a cannon. We like tied him up. We bound him.
Hands behind my back like a Masayoshida for the first 2 months of the season.
That was a great scientific experiment to see how crazy you were going, like why we were ranting. But here's the thing. Let me finish my thought on Roman Anthony, all right? There's so many things that were said that we can talk about and that we can, I'll use the word again, relitigate and everything else. But the dynamic where they said, we don't want to call up Roman Anthony because we don't want to put too much pressure on him. And then you trade Rafael Devers, and you put so much pressure on him.
More pressure than anyone could have ever imagined.
No. And so the part where I think the microcosm of this was in Anaheim. And I don't know, you guys were staying up late. You guys were watching the games. I was in Anaheim watching it. Seventh inning, bases loaded, one out, tie game, lefty on the hill for the Angels. And Rob Refsnyder on the bench, and they choose to let Roman Anthony hit. Now, he was 0-for-9 with 5 strikeouts against lefties. So I asked about it finally yesterday because, like, I cannot figure this out. And the answer was exactly what you expect, which was, hey, we know he has to be the guy. So we have to show him that he's the guy. But that's the problem, right?
The problem is that he has to be the guy.
And also, he has to be the guy. And also, this comes back to sort of when Garrett Crochet only threw 85 pitches. There are certain times in the season where you need to win games.
Yeah.
You need to win games. That moment, you need to win that moment. And so, there's so much to pick through. So, I'm going to – Gordo, go ahead.
I just – here's where I just where I will go back to every time with the because it all starts with Rafi Devers. You can start all the way back in spring training. But to me, let's talk about the timing of it, right? Let's talk about they traded Rafael Devers during their hottest stretch of the season, just coming off a sweep of the New York Yankees. And there's no secondary move lined up. There's no Jason. You traded Manny Ramirez. There's no Jason Bay.
We've said this before. Is that like you can say that Jordan Hicks and Kyle Harrison are going to help the team? That's fine. But to your point, there was no secondary move.
Watch the games.
And here's one of the things. I know that you read the Breslow comments that I had in the story today. One of the comments he talked about was, I asked him, I said, did you get calls from teams say after the Devers trade basically trying to help you out, right? Trying to say, hey, like blood in the water. Hey, they just traded Devers. We're going to give you so-and-so, right? And he said, no, because I think all the teams saw that this was a – it was a pretty strong word. I forget what it was, but about the roster, that it was like a mismatched roster. That there
they
were
had too much talent. They like had too many spots.
But that the problem with that – and he's not wrong. I mean, we tried to figure that out. The problem with that is either due to underperformance or due to guys not ready to come back.
Well, that's the issue right there.
Right.
That's the issue right there. If Masa Yoshida and Alex Bregman and Willier – well, Willier's back now, but let's say the first two guys – if they're ready to come back, if you made this deal the day before Masa's rehab expired and he was ready to come up, the day before Alex Bregman was done with his rehab and he's ready to come up, it's a different conversation. But Masa hadn't started a rehab assignment yet. He still hasn't. Alex Bregman hadn't started a rehab assignment. We were just finished watching him take ground balls at third base for, I think, the first time. Like, these guys are not close.
Well, and also, we watched Bregman, and I think that watching him on the field right now compared to watching him in the Instagram things – It's not the same.
No.
Like, he was jogging. I don't know. Maybe he can air it out, but he wasn't airing it out today. He was jogging around the bases. Anyway, there's so much to get to. And like I said, we've been shot out of a cannon because we've been off for a couple weeks. We haven't had this opportunity. As I said, I was
and
on
a
the –
a lot has happened, too.
Yeah,
now.
A lot has happened. And I was on the West Coast. I do want to play at some point. We're going to be on with you till pregame show. Dinball will be taking over the pregame show just after 3. But I do want to play the 8-minute conversation I had with Xander Bogaerts because I really enjoyed talking to Xander. And what you have to understand is that there is no room for interpretation. Xander Bogaerts is really tight with Rafael Devers. And so if you want to get that perspective of it, this isn't someone from the outside. Like, I talked to Nick Pivetta too. He was just a player. There's plenty of players on last year's team who played with Devers who can talk about it, who are asking about it. Xander Bogaerts has been texting, talking to Rafael Devers throughout this whole thing. So at some point I do want to play that, but we got to get to all these phone lines, all these calls. Everyone's fired up. I appreciate everybody. 617-779-7937. We got Gordo. We got Pat from Playtessie. I'm Rob Bradford. This is a Baseballs and Boring show live from Fenway Park, high atop Fenway Park, where they're getting ready to take on Alex Cora's favorite pitcher of all time, Chris Bassitt. But right now, we're going to trend. I am stuck myself. All right, this is the Baseballs and Boring show live from Fenway Park. Playtessie guys are here. Pat, Gordo. I mean, honestly.
What in the world?
Yeah, I mean. In the break, we found out some significant news. Other than my marriage to my wife, the birth of my three children, might be one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Unreal.
Tom Hanks has posted. Tom Hanks.
Like the Tom Hanks.
The Tom Hanks.
Actor.
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump has posted. Not story. On IG.
Like a real Instagram
posted.
Post.
Read it. Can you read it? Can you read it?
Here, I'm going to pull it up. You ready?
Yeah.
He says, if you want a damn near perfect read to start your damn near perfect summer, get this damn near perfect book.
And, of course, it's the book that Joe Kelly and I co-authored.
And you got a nice picture, a damn near perfect game, Reclaiming America's Pastime, Joe Kelly with Rob Bradford.
Yeah, so there you go.
Right there on the first post on
there
Tom Hanks' Instagram.
Has never been hotter.
Media dinner's on me. All right. Well, let's get back to what's what. I mean, we can soak in.
Yeah, let's talk about this baseball
team. When door closes, another opens. But speaking of opening doors, speaking of opening the phone lines, and like, people can weigh on in, 617-779-7937. If you don't get through first off, then keep on trying because it's worth the effort. It's going to be an awesome show, an awesome day. All right, let's go to Jeff in Watertown, as always. Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Bradford, I am so down on Breslow, and I was the biggest supporter. I wanted to believe in him. how many times do we have to hear players talk openly about 27 voices in their head and what direction they're supposed to go? And then you see Sam Kennedy, 3 days before the trade, is talking about how Devers is going to pick up a glove, he's going to come around. And then, you know, and then I hear Breslow the other day talking about how I have to go through, you know, changing the organization and keeping everybody on the same page and alignment. Well, he's had 20 months to do that, and he's allowed people to just, you know, shoot their mouths off or you know, allowed people to talk, you know, seven voices in their head, whatever, you know. This is his ball game. This is what he's supposed to be in charge of. And it just really aggravates me that it just seems like nobody knows what they're doing, that everybody is just second-guessing or third-guessing the other guy and whatever agendas they have. I don't know, but it's all – it's just a giant mess. They got rid of – we don't have a hitter on this team that's capable of hitting the other team's best pitcher's best pitch. So, I mean, there's nobody that can do that. So you know that if you have a decent closer and it's a close game, these guys are not going to be able to get to – it's just – you know, and we have a month to the trade deadline.
Jeff, I mean, it is kind of crazy. We sit here, and you know, sometimes, Jeff, you call in, and I appreciate always every time you call in, but sometimes you call in, and we're like, oh, okay, what's the subject? We can talk about this, and you always have something good to talk mm-hmm. about. There's too many things to talk about, man. Like, you just yep. said it. I mean, you just, I think that you, I, if I gave you an hour of going through a list of things to talk about, yep. You could do it. And what you said, I don't disagree with. I think, though, you know, I think that if we're going to siphon it down to the messaging and what has happened, like, so, Jeff, you know, I was in Seattle the day after the trade, right? The clubhouse, everyone wanted to see the reaction. And we didn't know what the reaction was going to be because there hadn't been anything like this where you have a guy taken off the plane and then you have a six-hour flight. And it says the middle of the order guy, $300 million guy. So they show up, and I can tell you that it was normal. It was absolutely normal. And you had the interviews, and I think Duran was probably the most not even pointed, but he said, hey, one of 26 or whatever he said. Yeah. And then they win. And everyone was like, oh, great energy. It was a great energy. We knew the importance of the game. And that's all well and good. But the problem is that, you know, that energy can only last so long. You need to have talent. And you just said it, Jeff. You need to have a guy who you know can hit the other pitcher's best pitch. And that's another thing that's driving me nuts. I talk about these guys hitting the ball hard. Oh, they're hitting the ball hard. It'll work out. Another thing that drives me nuts is that they had this fail-safe of Seattle and San Francisco, that they were facing these elite pitching staffs, and it was going to be tough. Well, okay, now you faced Anaheim. Now you faced Toronto.
At home.
Then you're going to face Chase Burns and Cincinnati. Like, guess what? They're all major league pitchers. And every single time they're facing someone – I'm sorry, you don't have a lot of confidence that there's going to be a lot of runs, a lot of hits. So,
and you know, to be a broken record, Rob, but the money thing, too, really bothers me. I mean, the advantage that a team like the Red Sox and their financial situation should have is that you can trade a Devers and eat some of the money to get a better player. I mean, you don't have to pay the whole contract. You can get, you know, pay something to get something in return. And the idea that the mandate was we don't want to pick up a dime. You know, whatever excuse you give, because he's a rotten person and you don't want to give him the satisfaction. Your job is to help the team. Your job is to get some. Okay, so you paid for the wrong guy. You want to dump that contract? Fine. You know, use some of that money to bring back somebody that could at least somewhat replace him. They didn't even try to bring back somebody that could hit.
That's it right there to me. When they traded,
thanks for the call, Jeff. I appreciate it, man.
When they traded Manny Ramirez, they got Jason Bay back in the deal. When you trade Rafael Devers, and it's not like this team was some mega offensive juggernaut before they traded Devers. Like, they were a middling offense.
No,
that
that's
was
what Cora referenced even yesterday. And,
right, but that's even more reason why you can't just trade Rafael Devers and not get anything
and
back.
Here's my take on it, guys, too, is that I do think, like, they say, well, we haven't identified what we truly need. And I understand
taking your time.
But you have the starting pitching, and it has been up and down. And you have the bullpen, and you know it's been thinned out. You have all this stuff. But I will say this. All of it is going to be worse because the offense – because everybody knows how hard it is to score runs. That's just a reality. And, yeah, Bregman will come back. And, yeah, Yoshida will come back. But we've said it at the time. I said it at the time. This is a race against time. Yeah. It just is, because this isn't your normal trade deadline. You have to identify. They can keep talking about how they're going to be buyers, but if you get to after the All-Star break and you're five or six back in the wild card,
they're not buying if they get there and they're not.
It's almost like it'll be irresponsible to say, no, we're going to buy and we're going to go get them as much as people would want them.
You'd be the Angels the year that they the Ohtani's last year. Yes, that would be what this team is.
The Giolito year. Yeah.
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 The other thing too is everyone knows what you need. You know what I mean? Like, what between now and a month from now is going to change? You need a first baseman. You need a starting pitcher. Your needs are very clearly identified right now.
And how many sellers are there going to be
to give you that? That's one issue in and of itself. Is a team willing to give you what you need right now?
No.
But to say
Breslow's right when he says those things, by the way. It's hard to get guys.
No, I get that. Yes.
At this point in the season, say, we're going to take the next 6 weeks to see what we need. You've needed the same thing since the day
right, Alex but Bregman here's the down. Thing. Here's the thing, Pat and Gordo from Playtassie, that they were seduced by Abraham Toro. They were seduced by the overperformance of some guys, and they said we don't necessarily need that. And if that kept going, that's fine. But it hasn't kept going, and you don't have that failsafe that is Rafael Devers or a player like him. And you know, you go back to finding a trade in June, as Craig Breslow told me yesterday. Trades are hard, man, in June. When July 1st, people start talking a little bit more. But I'll say this. You had the ultimate wave of discomfort in making the Rafael Devers trade. You showed that you were willing to get uncomfortable, right? At a very high level. Now you have to show that you're also willing to get really, really uncomfortable and giving up probably too much for what you need. If you want to do this, that's the way you do it.
Is this team good enough for that? Because let's say they go out and get, I don't know. Let's just say they traded for Josh Naylor today. With the lineup that is out there every single night, you add Josh Naylor to that. What does it do?
Here's the other thing I would push back on what Breslow said too. Okay, this trade for Josh Naylor, right? I don't think Arizona would, because they're still
– No, you're right.
I mean, they're taking on water, but
But he's as high level of a guy you can get. And if they add him to this lineup, it still would be bad.
This is why, you know, when I talked to Craig yesterday, he jokingly said, man, you're really obsessed with June trades. I'm like, yeah, because I don't understand why more teams do them. And here's another reason why. Because, yeah, you can not identify the thing that you want. You trade for that thing. Guess what you have time to do?
Trade it away again.
Yeah.
Trade again.
And also
– either direction, too.
And it maximizes if you do trade for a rental. Why would you not do it in June if it maximizes your time with the player?
Because other teams don't do it.
I get that. But at the same time, there are teams that you have to look yourself in the mirror and have common sense.
Agreed.
We are not going to be a playoff team, a wild card contending team. And then at that point, you get a better return, and then the other team gets this rental for an extra full month.
Yeah.
And then there's the urgency of the winning, which they have not had in months.
All right.
You look at a team.
I see everybody lined up. 617-779-7937. I promise I'm going to get to everybody. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. But before we go to break, I do want to, because it's very special. It's been a very special week. I passed on a message from this caller to another person. They really, really appreciated it. Do you know what I'm saying? Allison in Cambridge. Hey, Allison. Guess who I saw this week, Allison?
How did I not put that together?
You saw Xander, and I was going to say that I had comments I wanted to make, but I had to start off with saying that I heard some of that interview, and it just killed me. So it wasn't Sunday night when you were on the air, but the night it happened when you came on the air and I spoke to you. That was the last time I spoke to you.
Yes.
You didn't have Xander's interview that yet, did you?
No. I talked to Xander for that interview on Thursday, and then I looped back with him. Not for the interview, okay. But I saw him again on Sunday.
It was a two-minute grill. It was a two-minute grill on the baseball game. And so I heard 2 minutes of it, and it just killed me. I was just hearing his accent and the way that he speaks. He's just such a dignified, such a wonderful human being.
You know what he was? You know what he was, Allison, in that interview? You know what he was?
What?
He was very careful. He was very careful. Because you know what? If you're going to talk about Xander Bogaerts, if you know he has friends on both sides of it, but he is Team Devers – because he Rafi Devers. Let's not forget, Rafael Devers is a really good friend of his, Allison. He still texts him. He was calling him during the whole thing. So just make that
surprised.
Very clear.
Xander is the one who made Rafi like buy into defense and get better, and the whole thing is just so sad. So can I just say my simple question, which is part of a larger point, but the simple question is, what would have happened if this year, if they just did, I mean, Alex Cora was the one who wanted Alex Bregman. And if they just did what Alex Cora said, if Alex Bregman had started at second base and Rafi was still at third base, and if Craig Breslow had gotten Max Fried instead of Walker Buehler, where would we be now?
Oh, we'd be in a way better spot if they put Bregman at second base and let Devers play third.
And my larger point is that keeping, you know, simplicity is the way to heaven. And my larger point is when I think of the different GMs that we've had, that remember when Dave Dombrowski came in, I forgot why I was worried about him. Remember I said, I hope he's not devious. And Rob, you said, that would be a great bumper sticker, Dave Dombrowski, hope he's not devious. Well, he was really good.
Sounds like Rob.
But the thing is that I think that Heim Bloom and Craig Breslow, they're not devious, but they're very complicated people. Dave Dombrowski was very simple. He's like Theo. They did things in a slightly different way, different people. But they basically they have a great sense. Theo and Dave Dombrowski have a great sense of who are good baseball players, who you should trade and who you shouldn't, that they just did things right. And, like, I mean, Heim Bloom utters, like, about not keeping Kyle Schwarber. I mean, that is not what Chris Curtis said this morning. It's not because he didn't, or what they said, what Ken Laird said, it's not because of his batting, not good batting average. He didn't want to pay, as he said, I stay up late for worrying about the undiscovered jewel that I remember that line. I know that Kyle Schwarber is going to hit home runs. I don't really care about that. And I think that Craig Breslow, that he didn't want Alex Bregman, but then apparently when we had him, apparently the computer program said, well, then we heard this. Is this really true? The computer program said, well, then Alex Bregman has to be at third and Rafi has to become the DH and Christian has to be the second baseman.
I don't know the computer thing. Like, it's very simple, right, Allison? I think that Breslow said, if you want to sign Bregman, he's going to play third. And I don't think a lot of people push back on it, to be honest with you. I don't know about you guys, but it made sense. Ooh. Rafael Devers had his chance at third base.
Rob, I was saying Bregman at second.
Okay. Well, in hindsight, if we want to play that game, and Allison, thank you for the call. We got to get going. Thank you.
Thank you so much for conveying my love to Xander.
Of course. It was my pleasure. But if we want to play that game, like, what would have happened? What was the best course of action that would have happened in this current? If you just signed the guys that you have, it probably would have been play Devers at third, play Bregman at second, and I'll say it, DH Marcelo Meyer to begin the year. I don't know, or DH Rob Refsnyder, or have that platoon or something like that.
They could have DH'd Yoshida.
Right, and so
there you go.
But you know, in fairness to them, we didn't know that Devers was going to act so. I'll just say it, so childish for the situation.
On. Let's back it up, though. With his agent in the offseason, he was leaking to anyone who would listen. Rafi's agent would leak to anyone who would listen. Rafi Devers is a third baseman. He takes pride in the position. He sees himself as a third baseman. And you know what? The Red Sox, had they talked to him about it, would have known how it was going to go if they'd done it in January.
And, of course, that was, as we know, and we've talked about this a million times, and we can continue to talk about it. We will until losing.
They play better.
Right, until they play better. Is that when it started, the root of it was not, you know, flying down. Like Adam Ottavino, we taped the podcast yesterday for Monday, and he said, if it was me, I would have made sure that I flew down to the Dominican Republic and I talked to Rafael Devers in person. Even if he wasn't going to come out, even if he wasn't answering the phone calls, I would track him down and make the effort. And you can't say that you didn't know if you're going to sign Alex Bregman, because the fact was, if they didn't get Bregman, they were going to get Nolan Arenado. Yeah.
Yep.
That was the plan. Anyway, I want to ask you guys, we got to take a quick break, and I want everyone to keep calling. We'll get to all the calls. You know, one of the small parts of this was the clubhouse reaction to Rafael Devers, but then Rafael Devers, the first day in San Francisco, picks up a glove and starts doing what he did, right? I said then, I'm like, if you're a player, how do you not think that that's just you know whatting in your face, right? Like, how do you not take it that way? You can love Devers, but really? Like, really? Anyway, we got a lot to get to. 617-779-7937. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Be back after this. All right, welcome back to Baseball Isn't Boring. We're live from Fenway Park.
Running down a dream.
Running down a dream. Yes, certainly.
A dream of scoring more
than
four runs.
We'll get back to Ace of Spades Motorhead a little bit.
How many runs do they have to score to bring back Ace of Spades?
No, that's what we're doing anyway.
You think Ace of Spades will bring the runs?
I had some great entry music talk on the road, the West Coast. What a trip I had on the West Coast. Seattle, Tacoma, L.A., San Diego, Anaheim.
What a
time to be alive.
And now Tom Hanks is.
And by the way, we haven't
even
gotten to the sister of the opposing manager coming out and hitting Joe Kelly in the head in the middle of a Little League game.
Wild.
It's been a wild couple of weeks. All right, Tony Bridgewater, what's going on, Tony? How are you doing?
Hey, what's happening, Rob? You know, I just wish they would stop with this Devers thing. Devers does not make a difference in how this team plays. And I'm going to give you an example, okay? Devers hit .356 in May. They were 11-17, okay? So I'm just tired of listening to this narrative. The problem with the Red Sox, and you know I'm a Cora guy, but I got to tell you something. The approach these guys, before they get in the batter's box, is about as bad as you can get. The other day, Rob, you follow this stuff. The other day, Kikuchi was pitching, right, for the Angels. He was like at about 80 pitches. They come up in the sixth inning, and they were down a couple runs. He's mowing them down. I think he got 10, 11 guys out in a row. And they're about to knock this guy out, and they come up in the sixth inning. Five pitches, they were out of the inning. Instead of extending at bats, I don't care if you play Little League or senior ball like I play. I don't care what you do. Everyone knows you're going to take pitches. You want this guy knocked out of the ballgame. And this is on the manager. The approach is horrific, horrific for any age.
Yeah, and I think, Tony, he mentioned that last night, too. And you're not wrong. I mean, you're not wrong. It's a lot of different things. But I do think that when you come to the Devers thing, this is where I think that you might get a little bit twisted. Is that because Rafael Devers, his numbers will go up and down. Usually they go up. You can't ignore that he had one of the best hitting numbers and certainly as a DH in all of baseball. But also, we talked about this before, having that one guy where the other team knows it's coming up and you're going to have to deal with it. That's a very real thing, Tony. Like, that is a very real thing. And they don't have that.
I don't say that's not a real thing. And they got some young guys on the team. But the way this team approaches their at-bats, the way they run the bases, this is all on coaching. I don't care if you're a Little League. You're going up to the plate to say, hey, look, we're ready to knock this guy out. We can't hit him. Take a couple pitches. Even at the worst, they go 1, 2, 3, 15 pitches, they knock him out. Like, this is stuff. This is basic baseball stuff. And they haven't been doing it all season long. And to put this all like Devers makes a big – he's a good hitter, but he's not the be-all, end-all. I just told you what their record was in May.
I also know what their record is since they made this trade, and there's a lot of facets. But, Tony, thank you for the call. There is, I think that there's some things that are obvious, right? And then some things that aren't quite as obvious. Tony's not wrong. The approach is bad, but I'll also use what I said before to support Tony's theory or to push this along that they are having bad at-bats, because when you have bad at-bats, sometimes that is a product of
not having enough talent.
Not having enough talent. Also, B, of thinking that I got to jump on this pitch because it's going to be the pitch and because I'm going to hit a run because we need a home run. Like, okay. I mean, there is so much to this, but ultimately, we'll come back to what we said before. We knew when this trade was made that, as we sit here, we said, we're doing the Baseballs and Boring Show on June 28th. Are we going to talk about Devers? If they're winning, nope. We're not going to be talking about Devers. If they're losing, yep, we're going to be talking about Devers, fellas, right?
Well, it's just like in 2021, we didn't talk that much about the Mookie trade. It was, oh my God, they built this roster that's competing, and we should have trusted them. And then every year since, it's time to relitigate the Mookie trade. And guess what? Until they are good, every year, every time this team struggles. I know everyone wants everyone to move on from the Devers trade, move on. He's not here anymore. It's moving forward. No, I mean, every time this team doesn't play well, particularly when they're not hitting and they're averaging under 3 runs a game since the trade, yeah, we're going to talk about the trade.
Yeah, and I think another part of this is that you had mentioned the Manny trade. We could mention the Nomar trade. We could mention trading for Kyle Schwarber a couple of years ago, how those first few weeks were really uncomfortable. Say, hey, listen, you know, like you got a guy with a bad hamstring. And, well, the biggest difference in all these situations is that
– those teams had more talent.
Exactly. Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, you had – even in the Schwarber deal when you needed another bat and you weren't getting production from that, you still had
– JD.
JD.
Xander.
You know, Devers. And, I mean, you don't have a semblance of that. And I just – I'll come back to Roman Anthony, who just hit, like, a, you know, another 500-foot home run in BP. It's – they keep talking about how what great at-bats he has. And he has had good at-bats. He's walking. He's hitting the ball hard. All of that. But you know where he should be doing that? In the number 6 or 7 hole.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why he's trying to figure this out, that's what it is. And I don't – that part, I don't blame Cora. Like, for – Abraham Toro's hitting third today. And we might say, what are you doing? Like, no, Abraham Toro's hitting third. Well, it's almost like, okay.
Who else are you going to put that?
Well,
on
that's
the roster?
My point.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's – yeah. It's just – it's really, really – it is so many different ways to go. You guys all right? I worry about you guys. You guys okay?
It's Rob. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. And to be honest with you, I went to sleep last night. I woke up this morning. I'm just sad because you just think about, you know, years ago what this organization was and what it has turned into.
Does your wife ask you why you're so sad? And you say because of the Red Sox?
No, she knows.
She genuinely has
sympathy
for me. I
feel so bad for your wife.
I would love to be in the Gordon household the week that Kristaps Porzingis and Drew Holiday are traded and the Sox are in the middle of a 6-game
losing streak. Oh, my goodness.
How many holes in the drywall?
You know what? At least when they trade Kristaps Porzingis and Drew Holiday, A, there's reason to justify it. They have to with the CBA. And B, they cashed in on a championship last season. So it's like you can
some good CBA talk.
I'm just saying, like, with the Red Sox, it's like they haven't made the playoffs in
years. If you say
the
word apron, I'm going to kick you out of this booth.
Apron.
Out. John in Watertown. Hey, John, how are you?
All right, here you go. Who's sixth in all of baseball in RBIs? Sixth in all in baseball in OBP? Second in walks in all of baseball? 10th in doubles in OBP? But the Red Sox don't trade him and get anything. They dump him in June. If you waited to the trade deadline, you get much more, so teams are way more hungrier and stuff. And then quickly, Priester and Pivetta. I'd rather have those two in the rotation than Gelati and Bueller for $40 million. Help me Gelati. Out and answer
Gelati.
Me.
Gelati.
Yeah.
Sounds tasty.
John, I'm going to help you out. We're going to take a break, but thank you for the call. Like, so what I would say to this, and he had mentioned the timing of it. I think that's where, you know, you had mentioned this before, Gordo. The timing of it has not worked out for them. That's just a fact. And they know that they've got to get these guys back, but they're not getting them back nearly close enough. And so the impetus for the trade was because we think we are going to be a better team because we're getting these pieces back, which are going to help us down the road. We're getting this money, which is going to help us down the road. We're freeing up spots in the lineup, which is going to help us down the road. But the problem was is that nothing was going to help in the time that you needed it to help. And what they were almost banking on, the thing that they were banking on for immediacy was vibes in the clubhouse. This black cloud was just hanging over the clubhouse, they thought, because of the Devers thing. That was a very real thing. That was a very real part of this, which they felt, hey, this guy isn't being a team player. We got to go.
But, Rob, have you gotten the sense, because at first, when the players, you know, the day after the trade, you're in Seattle, and the players are, you know, one of 26. We're going to be fine. We're going to move forward. All this stuff. And you get the sense, like my sense on that was, oh, wow. Things must have been really, really, really bad.
It wasn't,
but I don't think that's the case.
No, I think that.
With the players, at least.
I think, and this is another thing Ottavino said. He's like, players don't think that way. Players are just moving on, right?
Don't think what way?
Don't think about, oh, my goodness, woe is us. Like, that's not how they think. They don't think. I will say this. Like, the only time that I felt like a clubhouse that way, and it's not like things turned either, was the A.J. Pierzynski thing. It was.
Well, hold on. What about when they – with the Xander quotes after they didn't – or was it after they traded Vasquez?
Oh, yeah, Vasquez? No, that's fair. That's fair. After they traded Vasquez, like, Xander was upset. A reaction for Kevin Plawecki being released.
Oh, my God.
Then there was with this. But – I don't think it was this vitriol towards...
These guys didn't hate him.
No, I don't think so.
Right. So but what, I think why it was it,
I think it was here it is.
Now.
Here's the best word I can give. It was an annoyance. But the problem is if you're doing the scales of importance, well, annoyance doesn't weigh nearly as much as talent does. Put that on the bumper stickers. All right, we're at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios, actually up in the broadcast booth. But the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Hurry in for your last chance to get employee pricing for all during the Great American Sales event. Well, we were looking forward to this show, and it hasn't disappointed. We're going to be with you all the way up to the pregame show. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Gordo, along with Pat from Playtessie. Call on in, 617-779-7937. We see the Red Sox taking BP. We see the Blue Jays out in the outfield. It's a huge, huge game. It's fork in the road Saturday. I can't even say that. Sure, fork in the road Saturday. All right, we'll be back after this.